As we come in our study of 1 Peter to the opening verses in chapter 5, it is not hard to uncover the subject that God's servant is dealing with here. In the first four verses of this chapter, Peter addresses the elders in the church, and he speaks to them of the work that they are to be engaged in. And this is what he does here. He speaks to the elders concerning the work that an elder is to be engaged in. Therefore, the theme or subject that is clearly brought before us in these words is that of the role of the elder. The role of the elder. This then is what we are coming to consider as we look at verses 1 to 4 in 1 Peter 5 today. We are considering the role of the elder. The role of the elder within the church. Now, before we consider what Peter says here, it is important to note that the role of an elder is not a man-made role. This is not an office that men have thought up and said to themselves, well, this would be a good way to run a church. Let's have elders. Let's have men who are in office and are elders, and through the eldership we'll run the church. We'll take responsibility for the church. We'll be the leadership. This is not what men have thought. This is not what men have decided. No, the position and role of the elder is what Christ, through his apostles, has brought into existence and established. As you read through the New Testament, you will discover that the apostles ordained elders in all the churches. In Acts 14 verse 23, we read of how Paul and Barnabas ordained them elders in every church. Paul also wrote to Titus in Titus 1 and 5 and said to him, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I have appointed thee. The practice then of Christ's apostles was to ordain elders in every city and in every church. This then is why the role of an elder exists. Not because men have brought it into existence, not because men have thought this up, but because Christ, as the great King and only head of his church, he has established this position. He has brought it into being. And we should also note, this is why only he can say who is properly qualified to be an elder. It is only Christ who can rightly declare who is fit or who is qualified to be an elder. Men cannot decide this according to what they think is best and according to what they decide would be most profitable and fair. No, Christ and Christ alone can decide who is fit and proper to hold the office of an elder. Women cannot be elders in the church. Why? For Christ says in 1 Timothy 2 and 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. And so no matter what people say, no matter what people say about equality and all of this kind of nonsense, it doesn't matter because Christ says no. He doesn't suffer a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. An elder also must not be one who is immature in the faith. For Christ says in 1 Timothy 3 and 16 that the elder is not to be a novice, which means immature or childish or young in the faith. And the Lord is saying, no, an elder can't be this. They must have a maturity in regard to the things of God. These are things an elder is not to be. But Christ says in 1 Timothy 3 and 2 what an elder is to be. He says an elder is to be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. How important it is when the church elects elders that they consider carefully that which God says in his word, and only select men that display something of the characteristics that Christ requires of an elder. And this is why Peter wrote these words. This is why it is important that we consider them here today. So that when the time comes in this congregation, that we will know the type of men that God requires us to select and to put into office. That we will know the qualifications that are rightly required of an elder. What Christ wants us to do and how Christ wants us to behave. And so these words are very important. And we must consider them, all of us must consider them, with great diligence and care. As we then come to this passage itself in 1 Peter 5, where Peter sets forth the role of an elder, notice how Peter introduces this subject in verse 1. He says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Note here, Peter introduces this subject by speaking of how he, as an elder, is doing something. He is exhorting other elders. That's what he's doing here. He says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. And so Paul is doing something here. Peter is doing something here. He's exhorting these other elders. This word exhort is one that we must note very carefully, for it really reveals the nature of the work of an elder. You see, this word exhort literally means to draw near or to comfort. To draw near or to comfort. In Matthew 5 verse 4, the Savior said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, the word translated comforted in Matthew 5 and 4 is taken from the same Greek word translated exhort here in 1 Peter 5 and 1. And so this is what Peter is doing as he works and labors as an elder. He is seeking to draw near to God's people, and he's seeking to comfort them. He's laboring to comfort those that are Christ's. This then is the role and work of an elder. And really we could sum it up as this: to draw alongside Christ's people and to bring comfort, spiritual comfort, to their hearts and to their souls and to their minds. It's the work of exhorting. And this word exhort means to draw near and bring comfort. This is really the sum and substance, we could say, of the work of an elder. God has given to the church elders. He's established this role for the comfort and consolation of his flock. And we should note, this is the role of every elder. The role of every elder. Not just the teaching elder, but also the ruling elder. They are in office in Christ's church to bring comfort to his flock. As Peter then speaks of the role of an elder in these verses, notice with me a number of vitally important truths in regard to how the elder is to bring comfort to God's people. First of all, we see here that the elder is to be part of Christ's flock. The elder is to be part of Christ's flock. Again, let's read the words of verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Peter here tells us three things about himself. He speaks of how he is an elder. And of course that was true. The elder is not just the one who is in the session in the sense of a ruling elder, but the minister, the preacher, is an elder. He's the teaching elder. And so Peter was an elder. He tells us here he was an elder. Then he tells us also that he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Meaning, he was there when Christ suffered and died on the cross. He was a witness of Christ's sufferings. But then Peter tells us one other thing about himself. He says at the end of verse 1, I am also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I am a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now these words refer to the truth that Peter was a believer. They speak of the fact that he was a Christian. The glory that shall be revealed is Christ's glory. This shall happen at the end of time. Luke 21 and 27 tells us, Christ shall return to this world with power and great glory. Therefore the glory that shall be revealed is Christ's glory. As he breaks into this world at the very end of time, as he descends from the clouds, he will come with great power and glory. What a day that will be. Therefore the glory that shall be revealed is Christ's glory. Yet every true Christian, every believer, is already a partaker of Christ's glory now. In salvation, we are joined to Christ. We are brought into union with him. This is what happens in salvation. When we believe in Christ, we are brought into union with him. And all that he has done for us becomes ours. His glorious work, where he lived for us and died for us. This work is accounted as ours. And so therefore now, as Christ's believing people, we are already partakers of Christ's glory. And this is what Peter is saying here. He's saying, I am also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Christ. I'm joined to Christ by faith. This is what he speaks of here. Now, I think it's very interesting that Peter, before he speaks of the role of an elder, emphasizes that he, as an elder, was a saved man. He was a partaker of Christ's glory. Isn't this interesting? He tells these people, I'm an elder. I've witnessed Christ's sufferings. And I'm now a partaker of his glory. I'm not a Christian. I'm a believer. And he's dealing with the subject of the eldership here. And he starts off by saying, I'm a saved man. I'm joined to Christ by faith. You see, this is the first qualification of the eldership. A man must be a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He must be a Christian. He must be part of Christ's flock. This is vital. This is the first qualification of an elder. And in our land, there are some congregations and denominations who have elders who are not believers in Christ. They've never been saved. Well, they're not truly elders at all, because they're not partakers of Christ's glory. And therefore, they don't rightly hold those offices. They cannot hold them, for they don't have the qualifications. And we should also note that this is not just something that a man is to profess, but it's also something he must prove through his life and character. An elder is someone who doesn't only profess to believe in Christ, but an elder is someone who's proven that through his life and character, through his conduct. I have already quoted in 1 Timothy 3, where Paul sets forth the qualifications for an elder. But let's just turn to that passage for a moment, because it really is a key passage as we come to consider the role of an elder. 1 Timothy 3, and in the first 7 verses here, Paul writes to Timothy and speaks about the qualifications of an elder. 1 Timothy 3 in the verse 1 says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And as it speaks of the bishop here, it's just another word for elder. The elder. And we should also note in this word, in these words, that the office of a bishop is a good work. It's a work. It's not a position. It's a work, an occupation. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now what we're told here is that an elder must be a man that has a good report, or has a godly testimony. And Timothy is actually told here that this testimony that an elder is to have is not only to be in the church, but also outside the church, in the community. Because verse 7 tells us, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. The elder must have a good testimony in the community. He must be known as a man of God, a man of faith, a man that is diligent in the things of Christ, a man that is earnest, faithful and true. This is the testimony the elder is to have, not only within the church and in the family of Christ, but in this world of wickedness and sin. The world must be able to point to him and say, that's a man of God. And they mightn't like him, and they might despise him, and they might scorn him, but they know of a truth. There is one and he's different, and he's faithful and true. The person who is qualified to be an elder, their life must clearly demonstrate they belong to Christ and they're a part of his flock. They're part of his flock. And so the elder is to be part of Christ's flock. But then moving on quickly, notice with me also here today, the elder is not only to be part of Christ's flock, but the elder is to provide for Christ's flock. See now the words of verse 2 in 1 Peter 5. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Feed the flock of God which is among you. These words very clearly bring before us the thought of a shepherd looking after his sheep. In fact, it is this idea of the shepherd and the sheep that God's word repeatedly uses to teach us of the work of an elder. Think of that morning Christ met with Peter on the seashore. After asking Peter, did he love him? Christ said to Peter, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. And remember, this was Christ speaking to Peter as he was sending him forth to serve him. The Savior was really saying to Peter, your job is to feed the flock of God, to provide for them, even as a shepherd would his sheep. And this is what Christ was saying to Peter. This is your role. You're one of my elders. You're one of my servants. I'm going to send you now into all the world to preach the gospel. Feed the lambs, feed the sheep. This is your position. This is your role. This is your occupation. Again, we could think of the words of Paul as he spoke to the elders in the church at Ephesus. This is what he said to them in Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And so God, the Holy Spirit, takes the thought of the shepherd and how the shepherd provides for the sheep, and he applies this to the office of an elder. He applies this to the office of an elder. You think of how shepherds in Bible times fed and provided for their sheep. Their task really involved two things. The shepherd provided for the sheep by giving to his sheep. By giving to them. He had to give them food and good pasture so they could feed. And of course that goes without saying. For a shepherd to provide for the sheep, he had to give to them. Provide the food that they needed to live. This of course necessitated the shepherd knowing where the food was. Knowing where good pasture could be found for his sheep. The sheep under his care. In Bible times, sheep were not put into well-fenced fields and left there to graze, as is the case today. And of course, this is the idea we have of sheep out today grazing in the field. They're out there by themselves and it's a well-fenced area and they're there and they're safe and they can graze away and be content. But this was not the case in Bible times. Instead, the shepherds were constantly with their sheep, leading them and directing them to suitable pasture. They were out in the wilderness and the shepherd had to direct them to the right place so they could find food and find nourishment. The shepherd quite literally had to provide this food that they needed, the sheep needed to survive. It was then necessary for the shepherd to be there continually with his sheep, providing for them. As Peter then, under the inspiration of God, speaks of how the role of an elder is to feed the flock of God. And this is what he says. Feed the flock of God. There is implied here the important truth that the elder needs to know where to find the food. To feed God's flock. Where to find the food. In other words, a man must be well acquainted with the word of God if he is properly to serve as an elder and feed the flock of God. He needs to know the scriptures. He needs to know God's word. He needs to know the truth himself. If he is to provide this truth for the flock that he takes care of. This most certainly applies to the teaching elder, to the minister, to the one who breaks the bread of life each Lord's day. This is why Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is the responsibility of the minister to study. Let me say this is his primary work and duty. To study the scriptures. to search out the food for his flock. To give himself to this diligently and faithfully and continually and endlessly. This is his work. This is my work. The work that I must always guard and protect. To go after the food, to provide you with the food that is so necessary. This is the job of the teaching elder. This is also applies to the ruling elder. The role of an elder necessitates that a man has a firm grasp upon the cardinal truths of God's word. He needs to know the word. He must be a man of the book. He must be able to open up the scriptures and point to the truth of God's word and feed the flock of God. This is true of every elder. This is the role of an elder. And think again of what Peter is saying here. Feed the flock of God. He's saying this to the elders. Feed the flock. This is your job. Give to them that which they spiritually need to be nourished. And so the shepherd in Bible times had to give to his sheep. But then also the shepherd in Bible times had to guide his sheep. I've already said the shepherd in those particular times did not just leave the sheep in a fenced area to graze. No, they constantly stayed with their sheep and they guided them. They guided them personally to the right pasture. The shepherd then was close by his sheep. And this is the picture. And the Lord is using picture language here. And we must not miss this. The shepherd always was with his sheep, shepherding them in a personal way. In fact, in Bible times, the shepherd didn't leave his sheep night or day. Never left his sheep night or day. Think of David when he went to visit his brothers as they were fighting the Philistines. Remember what he said? He left the sheep with another person to keep them. Because the shepherd never left their sheep. Night or day they were always with them. Think also of what David says in the words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And there's a thought here of the shepherd continually leading, continually with the sheep, being present in their lives. Now, this is the only way those who are in the eldership of the church can feed the flock of God. There needs to be a close and a caring relationship with the sheep. There needs to be. This is vital for the elder. There needs to be a close and caring relationship with the sheep. Feeding the flock of God very much involves being with the people of God. Being with them. It involves visiting them in their troubles, in their sickness and in their trials. Remember what Peter is saying here. He's exhorting. And that word exhort means to draw near, to comfort. That very much involves visiting them. It involves talking to them. Communicating to them. It involves going after them. Perhaps when the sheep wanders. And going after that wandering sheep. And speaking. And being honest and truthful. In 1 Timothy 3 and 2. We have noted that with these words already of how the elder is to be apt to teach. Apt to teach. What does that mean, apt to teach? It really means a desire to guide. A desire to instruct. This is the role of an elder. And you see, it's important that you understand this. Because when an elder speaks to you, and when an elder perhaps brings God's words before you, or reproves you, or challenges you, he's only doing his God-given duty and role. He's doing it out of care for your soul, out of love for you. Not to point out your faults, but to guide you into the way of truth and righteousness. To provide for you guidance of life. This is so vital, so important for the proper functioning of the church family. And so the elder is not only to be part of Christ's flock, he is to provide for Christ's flock. He's to be there present with God's people, put himself in the midst of them, and endeavor to get to know them and to get close to them. This is the role of an elder. Thirdly, we see also here the elder is to protect Christ's flock. Not only to be part of the flock and to provide for the flock, but the elder is to protect Christ's flock. See again the words of verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Notice the words here, taking the oversight. The thought or idea in this phrase is to oversee the flock of God. The elder has the responsibility of overseeing or looking out for God's sheep. Think again of the shepherd and how he oversees his flock. He watches over all the sheep and all the lambs under his care. And that's what a good shepherd does. He doesn't just look after a few in the corner or his prize sheep. No, he looks after all the flock. The young ones, the old ones. And he seeks to help whatever way he can in regard to the particular needs of his flock. This is the role of an elder. As Peter then speaks of this work of overseeing the flock of God, he speaks of how the elder is to look out for God's people. And he mentions a number of things here. We learn in these words, the elder is to oversee the flock of God cautiously. There is implied in the word oversight caution here. Great caution. The reason why the shepherd watches over his sheep is because he knows there are great dangers out there. Terrible dangers which can afflict the flock. There are wild animals. There are thieves. There are diseases. And all of these things pose a great danger to the sheep. And the shepherd knows this. He knows out there, especially in the wilderness, and again, think of the context here. A wilderness setting where there were wild beasts. Remember David, he had to fight off a bear and a lion as he looked after his flock. This is the context. There was dangers out there. Therefore, the shepherd cautiously had to take the oversight of the flock, seeking to ward off danger and harm as soon as it became apparent. Well, this is exactly the way those who are elected to the eldership of the church are to oversee the flock of God. They are to remain vigilant and diligent at all times, watching for the spiritual well-being of Christ's flock. There's to be a cautiousness and a concern and an awareness that there are dangers out there that can harm these people he cares for. Hebrews 13 and 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. They watch for your souls. The elder is to watch for the souls of men and women, young people and children, and to warn them about sin and about spiritual dangers. This is the role of an elder. And again, let me emphasize this. This is why you should take very carefully the things that you hear from this pulpit. The warnings that are issued from this pulpit, and even the warnings in private conversation. Because we're watching for your soul. We have your interest in view. It is your well-being that we seek. It is your spiritual growth that we want. And I know I speak on behalf of the eldership in this church. We have a desire for every single one in this church to grow spiritually and to develop as Christians and to advance in the things of God. It is therefore the duty of the elder to warn God's people about spiritual dangers, neglecting prayer, neglecting Bible study, neglecting the house of God. And let me, as the shepherd of this flock, warn you that you ought to be in the prayer meeting as God's people. It doesn't matter what else you've got to do. It doesn't matter what other things you're involved in life. I can say this with absolute certainty. There's nothing more important than being in the prayer meeting. Absolutely nothing. And so, as a teaching elder in this house, I warn you in Christ's name, don't forsake the house of prayer. Don't forsake the Word of God. This is my duty. This is my responsibility to watch for your souls. Because when you do, it is detrimental. It is harmful to you, spiritually speaking. It's also my duty to warn the unsaved that are connected to this flock, the visible church. It's my duty to warn you if you continue on in your sin. You will end up in eternal ruin under the wrath of God forever. I watch for your soul. You who are out of Christ need to be aware of this. You're still on the broad road. And the Bible says, Christ says it leads to destruction. If you have never repented and embraced Christ in the gospel, you're yet under the wrath of God, because the Bible says those that believe not are condemned already. And therefore, with caution, I must watch for your soul and warn you of the danger you are in. The elders do oversee the flock of God cautiously. The elders do oversee the flock of God carefully. Just notice in verses 2 and 3 the way the church is described. In verse 2, the church is called the flock of God. And in verse 3, God's people are referred to as God's heritage. In other words, the church belongs to God. It is his flock. It is his heritage. Peter is saying to these elders, you are to oversee that which belongs to God. This is a terrifying thing. What responsibility. These people aren't your people. They're my people, God is saying. And you're to care for them. You're to look after them. I quoted those words earlier from Acts 20 verse 28, where Paul said to the elders in the church at Ephesus, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Notice the note of care again here as he speaks to these elders. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. Paul is saying, listen men, you be aware of this. Let this sink in. Grasp this. This is a solemn thing. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You see what Paul says to these men? He says, take heed. You're overseers of the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The elder then is tasked with the duty of looking out for and looking after God's property. That which belongs to the Lord. That which Christ has purchased with his own precious blood. The church is precious and dear to Christ. He loves the church with an everlasting love. We can never doubt this. Christ loves the church. He loves his people with an everlasting love. Therefore, those who have been given the oversight of Christ's flock must be careful and must be diligent in the exercise of their duties. Because God, so to speak, has put his own sheep into their hands to look after them. This is why Peter says here that the elder is not to take the oversight for filthy lucre, meaning for personal gain, for money, for promotion, or reputation. And then he says, neither as being lords over God's heritage. Meaning, the elder is not to behave like a secular ruler, ruling over God's flock as if the flock belonged to him. The elder is not to be harsh and heavy-handed towards the people of God. Instead, they are to take the oversight carefully, ever conscious these people are God's people and they belong to Christ. Listen to the words of 2 Timothy 2 and 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. This is the servant of God. Not contentious, not striving, but gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Why? Because this flock is not his flock. Christ's. It's not a greater and more awesome task than any man can ever be found in than to be an elder or shepherd of Christ's sheep. So this work must be undertaken with the greatest care and the greatest attention. The elder is to oversee the flock of God cautiously, carefully. Notice also here the elder is to oversee the flock of God cheerfully. In verse 2, Peter says an elder is to take the oversight of the church not by constraint, but willingly, and also with a ready mind. This is referring to how the man who holds the position of an elder is to engage in the work wholeheartedly and cheerfully, remembering he serves Christ. And this is the way the elders go about his work. Willingly, cheerfully, giving himself to this, yes, difficult at times work, but with the right attitude, with the spirit of we're serving Christ and we're watching over his people. It's unbecoming of an elder to be a discourager of Christ's flock. And that's what happens when there's not a cheerful disposition in the work of God. The elder becomes a discourager. Instead of comforting the flock of God, they cause them to be distressed. Remember what Paul wrote to the believers at Philippi. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And there was Paul, and he was in the prison cell, and he was suffering for Christ. And all of these things were coming in upon him, and he was suffering terrible things. And yet, as he wrote to God's flock, what did he say? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You see, he was a man rejoicing in Christ. And this was an encouragement to the rest of God's people. And this is the way the elders to go about their work. With a cheerful disposition. Encouraging. Encouraging the flock of God to look to Christ and to rejoice in Christ continually. The elder is to protect Christ's flock. The elder is to provide for Christ's flock. He is to be part of Christ's flock. Let me mention one last thing in closing. And that is the elder is to be a pattern before Christ's flock. Verse 3 tells us this. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock, or being examples to the flock. This word ensamples literally means to be a pattern or a model. The man who is found in the office of an elder is to be a model, a pattern for the people of God to follow, to live by. The elder is to live in such a way that the sheep can imitate their lives, can live as they have demonstrated. Remember what Paul said to the believers in Corinth, in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. He said this, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. It's a tremendous thing to say. He was saying to these people, listen, you follow me, because I'm following Christ. That's really what he was saying. Watch my life. Watch how I behave. Watch how I conduct myself. And you follow my example, as I walk after Christ. Well, there is a sense in which every elder should be able to say this to his flock. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. The elder is to be a pattern to Christ's flock. In closing, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 just again. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we looked at 1 Timothy 3. But notice what he says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Paul says this, again speaking to Timothy, the young elder, the young preacher there. He says, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Here's Paul writing to Timothy and telling him how he is to be an example. And notice how he is to be an example. He says, be thou an example of the believer in word. That is in speech, in your conversation. You teach God's people how to speak. That's what he was saying. Then he says, be thou an example of the believer in conversation. And that word really means behavior. How you conduct yourself. And so his conduct, his behavior was to be an example before the flock as well. Then he says, be thou an example of the believer in charity. That is in showing love, in showing compassion, in being kind. He says, Timothy, you be the example they say, that is set in the church. And then he says, be thou an example of the believers in spirit. And that is in showing zeal. Being zealous about the work of God. Be at the forefront, lead from the front in zeal and earnestness. Be thou an example of the believers in faith. That is, trusting in God and trusting in God's word. Put your confidence in it. Let it be seen that you believe the word. And then the final thing he says, be thou an example of the believers in purity. That is, in living a holy and godly life. And you see, Timothy was made aware here that his life was to be one great example, one great pattern for God's people to follow. This is the role of an elder. Not to drive the sheep, instead to lead them, and to lead them by their own example. In verse 4, in 1 Peter 5, we have the reason why every elder should continually strive to be faithful in God's work. It says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The chief shepherd is coming again. The elder is but the under shepherd. The chief shepherd is coming again, not just to examine his flock. And he is. But he's not only coming to examine his flock, he's coming to examine his servants. Those who are responsible to care for his flock. What a motivation this is. To faithfully serve Christ in this role. What a motivation this is to be a good pattern before the flock. Because one day Christ's coming again. He's coming again to examine his flock and his servants. The elder then is part of the flock. The elder provides for the flock. He is to protect the flock. And he is to be a pattern before the flock. This is the role. The solemn biblical role of an elder. I trust God will bless his truth to our hearts today for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.